You are listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast, where it's all about responding with confidence to the legal, financial, and personal challenges created by disability, unexpected illness, or aging in general. Join us weekly as elder law attorneys Barbara McGinnis and Chris Johnson, along with other members of the Tekus McGinnis Elder Care Law Team, talk about the tools, techniques, strategies, and services that will make the elder care journey easier for everyone involved. Get ready, because aging starts now.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Aging Starts Now. I'm Caitlin Green. I'm one of the elder care coordinators here at the firm. Some of our clients find themselves in the position where they want to sell their home or even rental property. And so with the crazy real estate market, everybody and their brother seems to be a realtor. How do you know who is the right person for your specific need and want? So joining me today for this conversation is my friend Jenny White. She is a realtor with Park Green Hills. Welcome, Jenny. I'm so glad to have you on today.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. I'm happy to be here.
We have been friends for a long time because Jenny has been in the zone of elder care. She has been an elder or a senior specialist in several different roles, and she and I have done a lot together. And so I'm really interested in this topic through your perspective. And I have to say, real estate is probably not my talent area, but I do think it is a very important conversation to discuss the needs of the retiree as it is at the crossroads of real estate. Don't you think that's really important specialty?
Absolutely. Because folks who are making decisions when they're later in life about houses and homes and where they want to live, it's very different from when you're starting out. A first home buyer versus someone who is looking to, whether it be downsize, relocating to where their children are. There are just so many different ways of approaching it and what is going to work best for the individual.
Yeah. Well, and everybody is, the situation is so unique. I mean, not just location, but, financial or the intention of the move, like you said, downsizing or upsizing or whatever it is. So tell me in your perspective, what makes a good realtor? How do you know who your right fit's going to be? And what kind of questions do you ask to kind of find that out?
Yeah. So like with so many things in life, you really need to have an understanding of who you're going to be working with. That's why interviewing, I believe, it matters in real estate as in so many different facets of life to be able to sit down and meet with someone. So I actually recommend if someone were to ask me that they talk to two or three different realtors. Like you said, we probably all know 10 to 12 realtors out there. So there's certainly some recommendations that you can get some from friends and family, but really to have a chance to talk with them, find out if you're a fit. You know, you don't choose a hairdresser and not want to find out more about them and see if your personalities mesh. That's an important part of it. So to be able to sit down and talk with someone and find out, you know, what is their method of communication? Communication is probably one of the most important aspects of real estate, whether buying or selling. Building that a level of trust, you know, you're helping someone make possibly one of the largest financial decisions they will make. And so there has to be a trust level there as well. My viewpoint is that I want my either buyers or sellers to be educated in what we're going to be doing together. As a realtor, I can steer the bus, right? But I'm not in charge. My seller or my buyer ultimately has the decision to make. I want to give them as much information as possible to help them in that. But so again, yeah, that.
I like the idea of being able to interview somebody because, I mean, am I right that there's realtors and then there's realtors. And I know it is realtor. I always say realtor, like, you know, in Southern, but am I right that there are specialties? Like I know I see signs for real estate companies or realtors that only do commercial, or they only do certain things, or maybe they specialize in, is that right?
Absolutely right. I think one aspect of choosing the right realtor and a good realtor is someone who has continued on in their career with expanding their education. You know, every realtor, we take the same classes in order to be to take the licensure to get a real estate license in the state of Tennessee. We all do that. It's what you do afterwards, I believe, really can make a mark of distinction for someone. I personally, because of my history with senior services, chose to pursue a designation that's called a Seniors Real Estate Specialist. That designation, SRES, if you see at the end of a realtor's name, just says just that, that they took the time and the effort to really understand the needs of seniors from start to finish. You know, that includes working with families, because let's face it, we have family dynamics that will play a role in what is happening with mom and dad, can I help, you know, in the next step, whether it be with assisted living or a different type of independent living, financially, you know, we want to be aware of tax implications for whatever we're doing. You know, do we need to look at reverse mortgages? All of these things I'm aware of, and I can point people in the right direction in. And it is just different, as we started off saying. We're not talking about first-time home buyers here. We are talking about folks who more than likely the net worth, much of it will be tied up in the real estate that they own.
I see. And yeah, and I can absolutely appreciate the specialty of you're looking at the pathways, the opportunities, but also regulation, tax implication for the older adult. And I appreciate that because, like, you know, it's just so much information. It's really hard to navigate. Educate me a little bit, just for my own sake, between commercial and residential, because I know I hear so much talk about zoning and this is this or that is that, and I wouldn't know where to start. So from a realtor lens, kind of give me the 411 on that.
Sure. So they are two different licensing. They're a residential realtor, which is what I am. You are licensed to sell residentials.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, homes, condos, townhomes, that type of thing. Whereas a commercial agent is really looking at those big, you know, industrial parks or all of the building that's going on in downtown Nashville and really everywhere else. They have a more very specialized approach to their licensing. So, you know, those are really the two things. A residential realtor like myself, we can sell something to a commercial, more of a commercial buyer. There's, you know, that's not a problem. And I suppose I could sell a big building downtown too, but I don't know why anyone would ask me to do that since I've never done that before. So to be able to differentiate that with that, I hope that helped. You know, in Middle Tennessee, you know, in Davidson County specifically, sometimes zoning is a moving target because there's so much development happening really anywhere in Middle Tennessee that it's important to know what you are zoned for, depending on what your view of what's going to be happening next, right? Some people want to be able to build onto their house. Well, does zoning allow for that? And a lot of people hear about the tall skinnies that have come up in different mm-hmm. putting two houses on one plot of land where there had been just one house. Well, there's a zoning code for that. And if you think you're going to do it and it's not zoned that way, well, you know, don't buy that house because you're not going to be able to ultimately do what's highest and best for that parcel of land. So
sure, looking forward.
Pardon?
Looking forward. That's really smart. Yeah. What's it going to be, you know, because it is an investment. What's next? What are we going to do with it in 5, 10, 15, 20? And I hadn't thought of that.
Well, and you know, it's important that if you know, I've spoken to some folks who, you know, around them might have some parcels that have been changed to a commercial, more type of zoning where you could have businesses and mixed use type things. And pursuing a zoning change, I think, is quite an experience and not one that a lot of people have the stomach for, because it is a process to be able to do that type of thing. So the planning departments within your county are an excellent source of information. They deal with zoning all day long, and so they're able to answer questions about, you know, what's the possibility here based on things that are going on around you. So there are ways of looking into things. I think if someone were selling something like that, they'd want to have their own knowledge. But the planning department is kind of the being that's going to be able to direct someone in the right.
Don't you just love me? I went right for the hard question, but, you know, inquiring minds kind of a thing.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I understand. Yeah. That was a good tutorial moment.
You got any softballs for me?
Yeah, right. Well, so this comes from a place where I overheard somebody talking just the other day about how does it work if you wanted to sell your house to a developer or developing a piece of land? Like I overheard, I may have been eavesdropping just a little, but it was just because I was in proximity. But it was basically, there's a piece of land that the family wanted to keep in the family, but there was an opportunity for it to be developed. And so, you know, in thinking about real estate, am I right that there are transactions? So there could be a residential realtor on one side and a commercial realtor on the other side?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there are true development companies that, and a person, if that wasn't what they did, they weren't developers. There are development companies, like, for example, Parks has a development division that if I were to come to them and say, hey, I have a seller who has multiple acres and it looks like, you know, is there a possibility that this could be developed depending on, you know, how much, if we have city water and city sewage and that type of thing. So
I know this one. I know this one. If it perks, right?
Yes.
Boom. See, I made 10 points in real estate class. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You're a little baby realtor.
No, ma'am.
But yeah, there's so many, you know, things to consider. But that's why I think a good realtor knows the people to plug into.
Oh, I can see we're being connected. The education piece, the connection piece, and knowing the rules or the zoning. I can see where that would be huge because I wouldn't know where to start, you know, but I have heard that kind of talk, you know, if what about septic? What about sewer? What about connection? What about water and floodplains? You know, all these things like the what ifs. I think it's so important to have a professional on your side that can kind of guide you through those liabilities. Because that, you know, not knowing those things and seeing around the corner can be bad down the road. And I mean, shameless plug, that's what we do here as elder care coordinators. You know, my background is gerontology. And I really feel like if I know educationally and geographically, or maybe even in theory, I know the stages of aging developmentally. I know the healthcare system, I know Medicare, I know Medicaid. And if I know what's around the corner, I have a high obligation to guide my clients through it. And I can see you doing the same thing in the real estate side. And so I can really appreciate kind of that forethought seeing around the corner.
Well, in real estate, there is a phrase called highest and best use. When we consider any time we're selling something, what is the highest and best use for this piece of property? You know, can it be developed? Is that the best thing for the land itself and the community around it? So like you said, there are so many things to consider in the process. It's good to hook up with somebody like yourself who knows what's coming.
Sure. I'll be the Medicare queen. You can be the real estate queen.
I accept my position.
I'm feeling. It's been so long since we've got to catch up, and I really, really love what you've got going on. I think you're perfect for this. When I think real estate, I think maybe when everybody hears real estate, we hear all this, about the market. Is the market, is the market good? Is the market bad? Is the market going to change? You know, the question I'm sure you get all the time, and so I'm going to ask you again, you know, in front of everybody, what do you think the market's going to do? And it's an election year. How do you think that's going to change it? I feel like I hear that, but I know you don't have a crystal ball.
Well, it's at the cleaners, so you're right. I don't have. We have a market. There's no doubt that there's a market, and the market decides what the market wants to do. In Middle Tennessee, you know, we have a robust, thriving market. There are houses coming on active on the MLS, the multiple listing system, every single day. Houses are bought and sold. So the bottom of the housing market is not dropping out. I always tell people on this, I'd have to do a disclaimer on this, but if the housing market in Middle Tennessee ever fell apart, something catastrophic happened in the world as we know it, because we as a, as I said, Middle Tennessee, we are so far behind on inventory that we still can't keep up. You know, one of the figures that we look at is how many months of inventory do we have left? Say not another home was built, how much of an inventory of homes could be purchased in a month? So right now we are sitting at, if nothing else was built in Middle Tennessee, we would be able to buy and sell houses for another 4.2 months. And that may not sound like a lot, but back in, the height of things of 21, 22, we got down to 2 months worth of inventory.
Yeah, the lumber prices and shortage. I remember all the talks about it too.
Yes, it was just a crazy time with houses flying off the market. We couldn't get something to market fast enough. And the interest rates were really, really low. So it was just like the perfect storm, so to speak, of buying and selling houses. So in general terms, we are still somewhat in a seller's market, which means that the seller, you know, kind of still gets to call the shots. When we get to about that 5 to 6 month mark, 7 months of inventory available, we're approaching more of a balanced market. So that's kind of where things are headed, where, you know, there's a healthy opportunity for negotiation of price, possibly, of a repair, possibly. And then we move into when there's more inventory that's on the market, we get to more of where the buyer's in charge. They get to go, I will pay you this, and I expect you to do that. So,
well, really, the laws of supply and demand. I mean, that makes complete sense.
Exactly. It's all economics when you really come down to it. And as far as the pricing of a home, the market's still going to determine what you're going to get. a seller can want all they want, but the market's still going to tell you what you can get. You know, appreciation has been a big thing in the last couple of years. If you bought something in the late 2017, 18, and you still have it, the appreciation of your house has just exploded. Many people don't even realize that the value that they had if they sold what monetary would come to them. You know, in 2020 we had an 11.7% appreciation value. So if you owned a home, bought a home on January the 1st of 2020, if you sold it in December of 2020, you know, you saw an 11.7% increase in value of your home. 2021 mm-hmm. was crazy at 25%. That's when people went, my house is worth what? Because that's enormous. Even 2022, there was a little over 10% increase in value. So appreciation rather. So we've leveled out. I can tell you that through September of last year of 23, that it was a 0.5% increase. Mm-hmm. In appreciation, not the 25% that we saw, but
yeah,
still an appreciation. In over the 30 years that this information has been tracked, there's been an appreciation of 6% every year. So, wow. You know, just like with anything, you got your highs and you got your lows, but when you middle it out, that's still a great return on an investment, which is why if you can purchase, now's the time to purchase. And because we are still at the height of demand, selling, you're still going to get top value. And I think that's really probably what's most important and feeds me when helping seniors on the path of selling, is that their wealth is in that house, in that land. Mm-hmm. We're looking at, and nobody needs to get a deal on a senior's what's going to be funding their future. That's what means the most to me. And I think as a senior's real estate specialist is that I am looking out for their best interest. And that is to be able to get the most money that they can that will provide the funding for the rest of their life, whatever that's going to look like.
That is beautifully said, my friend, beautifully said. And that is kind of the informed consent, that all people have a right to informed consent, including mm-hmm. seniors, to know what they're getting and know what they're doing and being educated before they are called on the carpet to make the decision. And, you know, when I think about a senior or an older adult moving from my desk, usually it's predicated on an event.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nobody says when I grow up, I want to live in assisted living. Nobody says when I grow up, I want to be in a nursing home. You know, as Americans, our independence, we want to be at home, but sometimes it's not practical. Sometimes it's not safe. Sometimes, you know, just downsizing would be helpful. And so, you know, the question is, when's the best time to sell? Does it depend? You know, when should I pull this trigger? Well, a lot of times life dictates when you should pull the real estate property moving, transitioning, you know, decision. And I really appreciate that there are people that are looking out for the holistic, the big picture for the older adult. And I like that you bring up that they really should get the most for their dollar. Everybody should. But if seniors are our highest healthcare users, they spend the most on quality and good care, and mm-hmm. rightly so. You know, I always say, your care is never free. However, we want it to be the best quality of care at the right place, at the right time, in the right method. And this is just an extension of that. Tell me how commission works. So if my client is looking to do some type of move or real estate transaction, and you are a specific aging specialist, tell me how the commission works on that residential side.
Yeah. So, each brokerage, so each company, so my brokerage is Parks, determines what their commission level will be. And so it's nothing set out in the, you know, by the world or by the real estate community. It's each company. So ours, we set at, and then I will offer a percentage, a portion of that to the buyer's agent, basically, so that there's a clear cooperation between the seller and myself and the buyer and their agent. So the commission comes out of at the closing date. It comes out of the proceeds of the sale of the house.
Gotcha. So it's like a percentage based on the transaction.
Yes. For my company, we use a 6%, and I will give half of that to a buyer's agent. You know, all this is provided that this is what my seller agrees to,
right,
as compensation, for bringing the buyer into the transaction.
Gotcha. Okay. So you build the plan, you look at the big picture and then determine.
Exactly. And everything that we've talked about today are so many negotiable items.
Sure.
You know, to consider and to talk through, you know, and that comes back to that open communication about how a commission works, what I'm going to do to earn that commission, by bringing in the right buyer at the right, sales price. You know, we're talking about that the whole time.
That's a huge, personal touch that I feel would be really important, that person-centered service. 'Cause, you know, now you can buy a car from a vending machine and never touch or speak to a human being. And I think there's even some real estate transaction like that. You know, you can sell it as is online and never, you know, really sit down at a physical office with a physical person. And that is just not how the adult generations of our time do business.
No, and I'm not sure it's something that present day buyers should necessarily do either. You know, like I said before, it is probably the largest financial decision someone's going to make.
It's a great point. I mean, technology advances us and technology makes things good, expedient. You know, we're kind of a microwave society. By the way, when you microwave something, do you let it go all the way to zero and beep at you, or do you stop it before it beeps?
I have done my due diligence and read about how long it should be in the microwave, and so I programmed it accordingly. Unless I start to smell something that shouldn't be smelling.
I have this whole theory about our microwave generation, and I have caught myself stopping the microwave at 2 or 1 second. And my question to myself was, are you really that impatient? And I've determined that the answer is no. I just don't want it to beep and yell at me. So there's that. But
I don't like to be told what to do is what I'm gathering.
You know me too well.
Control.
I shouldn't do these mind tricks with you. You know me too well. But that does say something about our culture, you know, this microwave culture, that there is something to be said for due diligence. There is something to be said for practical experience and those connections and the education. And I think you have hit on those beautifully.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm so glad to chat with you today. It's been way too long.
It really has. And before we go, it would be important from my standpoint, because I would tell anybody to do this, anything I've said today, I would verify that with the expert in that field. So I have a real estate license in here in the state of Tennessee to sell real estate. Anything else, you need to be checking it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so much of that, I don't think that I realized, but yeah. Do some background and some homework. Okay. So for my resources and for our listeners that are wondering, how can we best get in touch with you or maybe look you up on socials, website, email? What do you prefer?
All of those things. You can text me. Easiest thing to just text me. My phone number is 615-424-1107, which, yes, since you asked, those last four digits are my birthday. Or you can reach me through at Jenny White at Parks at Home. And that the first at is that little A with the circle on it, and the second at is spelled out. So parksathome.com.
Okay, so Parks AT. Okay, gotcha.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Jenny White, you are such a delight. I'm sorry that that's all the time we've got today, because I think you and I could just hang on forever.
I had so much more I wanted to say about you.
Well, we'll do it again. We'll do a part two to the nonsense. I'm crazy about you, and I'm so glad for your friendship, and I love to see what you're doing. So I support you, and I'm cheering you on, but I am not going to real estate anything with you. No CEUs, no classes. Yeah, exactly. You will handle the real estate because it's not my bag. What a great info. So on shameless plug for my side, of course, you know what we do, but for our listeners, we are a life care planning law firm. We help families respond to legal and financial challenges that might be caused by chronic illness or disability of an elderly loved one. So we talk about on this podcast all things that may come up for the older adult. And so many, many thanks to our real estate visitor, Jenny White. And join us next week. We'll do another episode of Aging Starts Now.
Thank you for listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast. For more information about today's show, visit tn-elderlaw.com, click on the free resources tab, and then click on Aging Starts Now. You'll find the show notes there. And while you're at it, why not check out all the free resources available at tn-elderlaw.com? Document downloads, the Tacus McGinnis blog, educational videos, informative articles, helpful links, a TV show, and more. It's all there, free for the taking. If you enjoy listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast, please subscribe, rate the show, or leave us a review. It's easy to do on whatever app you use to listen. We would love your feedback on the show. Aging Starts Now. We'll be back next week with more candid discussions about challenges created by aging, disability, and unexpected illness.